Thank you for listening to the New Hope Christian Church podcast, recorded February 10th, 2019. This week's sermon, Ready, Set, Grow, Save to Serve, by Carrie Eck.
For many, part of the American dream includes owning their own business. One expert that I read said that only 4 out of 100 business startups are still in existence after 10 years. 1 in 4. That is a huge failure rate, if you will, of 96%. Because consumers have so many options, so many choices with whom to do business, because profit margins continually shrink as a result of that competition, every company is faced with setting itself as unique apart from its competitors for that consumer dollar. Damon John is a highly successful entrepreneur who frequently appears on the show Shark Tank, and he's always seeking new business opportunities in which he can invest. What he has to say about building a business is wise advice that we should listen to. Damon John writes, and I quote, "I have learned that customer service is absolutely the most valuable part of any business. To over-deliver in service to a customer results in increased sales." Tony Hsieh, who is the CEO of Zappos, an online shoe and clothing company, has said, and I quote, "Customer service shouldn't just be a department within a business. Customer service should characterize and permeate the entire business." As we continue our sermon series, Ready, Set, Grow, we learn today why serving Jesus by loving and serving other people is so important to our spiritual growth. So if you take out your outlines there from inside of your bulletins, let's first of all look at what service is. When we talk about customer service as a part of a business, or when we're describing the characteristics of a servant, or when we are defining what effective service should look like, we would be wise to first examine the example of none other than Jesus himself. And when we do, we see first and foremost that service is an attitude. I mean, there were very few things that Jesus said that would have been considered as normal in his day, or even normal in our day. Because Jesus said things like, those who are last will be first, and those who are first will be last. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Not the strong, blessed are the meek. I am the living bread, Jesus said, that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. The bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. And those living in the first century, when they heard Jesus, must have been scratching their heads and saying, "What? Are you kidding?" I mean, even many people today, when they hear some of these things that Jesus was talking about, say, "What is that?" What Jesus said was totally counter to the culture that he was living in, and really counter to the culture we're living in today as well. There were very few things that Jesus did that would have been considered as normal in his day, or even normal in our day for many things. Jesus spoke with women in public when many rabbis wouldn't even talk to their own wives in public. Jesus allowed women to travel with him. It was women that Jesus first appeared to after he bodily resurrected from the grave. Jesus allowed his disciples to harvest grain on the Sabbath and to eat that grain, which the Pharisees said was unlawful for them to do. And when Jesus dared to heal a man on the Sabbath, why, the Pharisees became so angry, they started to plot how they might kill Jesus. Jesus invited a tax collector to be one of his disciples, to follow along with them. And if that wasn't bad enough, Jesus dared to eat with tax collectors and prostitutes and other irreputable people. And many in Jesus' day wondered, why would he associate with those kind of people? Why would he stain himself spiritually with these people? But it was those very people society refused to associate with that Jesus came to save. Because when Jesus looked at people, all people, he had compassion. When Jesus looked at people, he saw potential. When Jesus looked at people, he offered forgiveness. And though he was God, Jesus said that he did not come to be served by others, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus gave up his position and his personal desires for the sake of serving God and those around him whom God loved. And that's the same kind of attitude that Jesus expects from those who would follow him. Learn from me, he said. I have set for you an example that you should now do for others as I have done for you. The Apostle Paul caught on to that, and he would later write, don't be selfish. Quit trying to impress others with your life. Be humble. By thinking of other people as better than yourself, by looking out for the interests of others and not just yourselves. And he said, you need to have the same attitude as did Christ Jesus. Jesus was God, but he temporarily gave up his divine privileges in heaven, humbled himself as a servant, died a criminal's death on a cross for us. So Paul says, get rid of your old selfish and sinful desires and be made new with a new attitude like that of Christ himself. Serving other people, serving Jesus, is an attitude. It's a conscious decision. That when we look at other people, we don't just look at people and say that they're as good as us. No, Scripture says we look at other people and we look at them and say they're better than us. And because they are, we can be servants and slaves to them. And I know that is totally contrary to the way the world thinks. But that's how Jesus thought. And that's what Jesus taught. Now, besides service being an attitude, service is also a lifestyle. Paul said, now that you are saved, if you're saved, demonstrate your new position, your new status, by doing those things that God created for you a long time ago to do. Jesus' disciples were arguing amongst themselves, and Jesus, he heard what was going on, and he knew what they were arguing about, but he asked them the question anyway, what were you guys arguing about so vehemently back there on the road? Now, none of them dared say anything because they were ashamed, and they should have been. You see, they hadn't been discussing how they might allocate the funds they had and distribute those funds to the poor. They hadn't been disagreeing amongst themselves as to where the next destination might be, the next city, the next town they would go to and in order to share Jesus with. They were embarrassed because they had been arguing about which of them was going to be the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. In fact, it seems as we look through Scripture, they were having this argument on more than one occasion. Can you imagine how that must have sounded? Just got to tell you guys, looks to me there's pretty much just three of us. Three of us that probably are going to be greatest there in the kingdom of heaven with Jesus, because the three of us were privileged to go up on the mountain and see Jesus transform right before our eyes. And there appeared Moses and Elijah as well. So pretty well got it narrowed down to three, okay? And one of them says, oh, wait a minute. I beg to disagree here. If you recall, Jesus knew who I was, commended me before I had ever seen him, before I'd ever met him. And one of the others says, now, wait a minute here. You guys are all wrong. It was me who noticed this boy with some bread and fish, and it was me who brought the boy to Jesus so that he could feed the thousands. And so here they are arguing about this. But I bet we sound just as petty to the Lord today. I mean, we can be judgmental and think, oh, what were those guys, what were they thinking about? But we sound the same way sometimes. Why, I heard so-and-so use God's name in vain the other day, and I'm pretty sure they weren't praying when they did it. Wasn't that music loud last week? And how come the praise team don't dress up a little bit more than they do when they're up there on the stage? Did you know so-and-so reads exclusively out of the King James Version and thinks that that's the only version there is? I mean, we could go on and on and on. And I'm sure God thinks that our conversations are just as petty as were those of Jesus' disciples when they were arguing about who would be the greatest. We have been called by God to live in freedom. And Paul says, now listen, don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Oh, I'm free, so I can do whatever I want to do. No, he says, that's not the way it is. You don't pursue your own selfish wants. Use your freedom to serve one another. Because I am free in Christ, I can willfully choose to serve others. There were two friends who graduated from medical school in the spring of 1883. They differed in appearance. They differed in ambition. Ben was short and stocky. He wanted to practice medicine somewhere out east because he figured out in his mind that if he practiced medicine out in the east, he'd make a lot of money. He wanted his friend Will to come with him and practice medicine out east as well. Will was tall and thin, and Will wanted to practice medicine in the Midwest. That was where he was from. He wanted to be the very best surgeon possible because it was more important to Will that he help people than that he make a lot of money. A few months after moving back to his hometown, a tornado destroyed a third of the community, resulting in the deaths of 37 people, over 200 injuries. From that experience, Will and his brother and his father, in time, would open up hospitals and clinics bearing the family name. And today, over 63,000 people work for the Mayo clinics and hospitals. And because of its high standard of excellence, people come from all over the world to find healing in Rochester, Minnesota, all because Will Mayo was more concerned with serving people than just making money. Jesus laid down his life for us. And he knows if we're laying our lives down for anybody else at all or not. William James was a psychiatrist and author who believed that everybody ought to do some act of kindness or service every day to stay morally fit. Just like we need to exercise our physical muscles in order for them to grow, he surmised, he was convinced that our moral muscles will grow best when we use them to serve the Lord. And sometimes I know that sometimes we get that better when we hear it from other people than just from the preacher. So I want to share with you an interview here that I had with Lori Rushford just a couple of days ago about her experience and what she's doing. So let's go ahead and run that at this time. Mm-hmm.
We're here today with Lori Rushford, and Lori, tell me how long you and Arnie have been attending New Hope Christian Church.
We came here about 2010.
And you guys are currently serving in the safety ministry, right?
Yes.
Safe at Church
ministry. Yes, yes.
So you have taught how many years?
I taught kindergarten for 33 years.
Wow.
And I just retired in May.
So after retiring this past May, you kind of came to a decision. Tell us about that.
Well, I knew that when I retired from teaching, I was going to be done teaching. So I'm not going to do subbing. I'm really not going to do Sunday school because I really wanted to do something different. Because after you've done something for 33 years, you want to do something different. So, but I didn't really know what that was. I kind of took June and July, just kind of like the summer break. And then August rolled around. I'm like, okay, I really need to have a goal for retirement. So I'm not just sitting around my house doing nothing. And I happened to help somebody one day. And it was like, God was like, okay, this is what you're going to do. And so my goal for retirement is to do 365 good deeds each year that I'm retired. I've had several things that have been really good. So one is I was at Walmart one day and the conveyor belt, I was ready to check out and the people behind me, the conveyor belt did not stop and this item plopped into on my bill. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I will pay for that. And so I said to the clerk, I'll pay for this. She goes, oh no, I'll take that. I said, no, I will pay for that. Well, the item was not a $2 item. The item was a little more expensive than that, but I knew, I was like, okay, could that be any more? God wants me to pay for that?
Yeah.
So then when I turned around, it was a young couple, three kids, and they were like, this was an item they needed. And they were like, oh my gosh, God bless you. And so it was like, okay, you need to open your eyes, pay attention. Walk around Walmart, don't really shop. And it's amazing when you smile at people, start a conversation. I think when we make a connection with people, it's easier to bless them.
Would you say that you're more sensitive and you have your eyes open more now than did before July?
Oh yes, definitely. Absolutely, because I'm looking and my piece of paper at home, it's like it's a constant reminder, you need to do this. This is important. And I know it's hard sometimes. People are like, well, I don't want to go to the nursing home and visit. I don't want to go to the veterans home. But my theory is it's not about you.
Yeah.
It's about God and it's about sharing your blessings. And I brought one today. Okay. This, and I kind of got this idea from somebody else. It's a blessing bag. I just put $5 in it and then fill it with whatever items you want. You keep this in your vehicle.
Okay.
And then when you are driving and someone's standing on the corner and they want money or they want food, you just hand them a blessing bag.
So you have several of these in your car then?
Yes, at all times.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Well, I know Jesus said in Luke 6:38 to give and it will be given unto you. Mm-hmm. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together.
Yes.
So what you're saying is that sometimes you feel more blessed probably than what you've blessed.
I would say most of the time. And it takes the focus off you so you're not at home thinking, poor me, or I'm sad, or it just takes the complete focus off of that. And we have to be obedient because there have been times where like, well, I don't really feel like delivering that today.
Yeah.
And I just had a good friend text me and I had taken something to a group of people and she texted me in the afternoon and I put a prayer card on about strength, with Christ, all things can, you can do everything. And she was like, you have no idea what happened to me last night. And she said, I took the prayer card. And I'm like, oh, okay. So it was like, okay, if I had taken that on Monday, that would not have been there for her.
This is like being the church wherever we do life, right?
It is.
So how I know there's a lot of people that probably are feeling the same thing that you did prior to July or whatever.
Yes.
Well, how would you encourage them, Lori, to get started?
Well, I think you have to get started because it's just like praying, reading the Bible, and you've talked about that.
Yeah.
If you're not practicing praying, that's going to be difficult. And it's the same thing. You have to step out of your shell, step out of your comfort zone, and be obedient to what God's telling you because I think there's a lot of times we're missing those opportunities because, you know, you go through the store and you have tunnel vision. I have to get this,
right.
And you're not paying any attention to your surroundings.
Well, I don't know about anybody else, but you've inspired and encouraged and blessed me just by your idea and your obedience to the Lord, and I hope others will do the same thing.
And I'm having a ball. It's so much fun.
Thank you so much, Lori, for sharing this.
So I know we're all aware of that. The point is we need to continue to increase in our maturity and in our desire. And Lori and Arnie were here last night for a service, and they brought a lady with them who just started doing acts of service with Lori. And Arnie's talking about how, you know I should have been doing these, but even now I'm more sensitive to those things. So service is an attitude, and it ultimately leads to a lifestyle, both of which are patterned after the divine example of none other than Jesus himself. What does service do? What service does? We need to understand that service is first and foremost something we do primarily not for others, but for Jesus. Because Jesus was clear that when we serve others, when we love on the least of these in society, whoever they might be, even as Jesus did while he was still here on earth, we are in reality, when we're loving on others, we're loving on him. When we serve others, we're serving him. And when we do that, those acts, though we probably forget about them, will forever be remembered as surely as Mary when she poured expensive perfume on Jesus' feet. At least two things happen when we serve the Lord by caring for others. One is it changes me. You see, the Bible says that we are born with a selfish nature. And our advertising, if you just listen, our advertising today appeals to our selfish nature all day, every day. You deserve a break today. Have it your way. This is the breakfast of champions, so surely you ought to be eating it. Whatever happens here stays here. You know, all that kind of advertising, we're bombarded with that. And yet Jesus said that when we empty ourselves of ourselves, when we instead give of our time and our financial resources to others and our kind words and our loving deeds to others, something happens inside of us that we cannot scientifically explain. When we love God by loving others, when we serve God by serving others, you know what I'm talking about. It's usually we who feel more blessed than the individuals we thought we were blessing. And the more we feel good when we love others, the more we want to do good. Now, don't raise your hand, because I think I know the answer. How many of us deal with stress? Pretty much we all do in one form or another. Stress may hit us because of the constant deadlines we have at work or maybe at school. Stress may visit us when we're trying to do too much in too little of time or buy too much on too little of money. Stress may occur because we live around or we work around or we associate with miserable people, difficult people. And sometimes in the midst of our stress, people will turn to yoga or meditation, and some people turn to physical exercise or counseling, all of which is good. But a 2015 study published in the Clinical Psychological Science Journal, tell you what, this is just a mouthful saying that, it found that the negative effects of stress on our health can be relieved by, now listen to this, can be relieved by simply helping others. What they discovered, these researchers, is that those who perform daily acts of kindness were less likely to feel stressed. And those who forgot or neglected to do something kind to others felt more stressed. As Lori pointed out earlier in the interview, our acts of service don't have to be major. Preparing a blessing bag and giving it to the homeless, baking cookies and taking them to the break room, holding a door for a stranger, paying for the meal or the order in the car behind us as we're going through the drive up, paying for someone's gasoline. It can be free, a hug, a smile, a card in the mail. Oftentimes blesses us more than the person we're helping. It's a God thing. But these acts of kindness also not only change us, but they change others. During the American Revolution, a number of American soldiers were trying to move this very heavy log without any success. A corporal is standing nearby, barking out orders, telling them what to do. When this stranger in civilian clothes rides up on a horse, when the guy on the horse asked the officer on the ground why he wasn't helping, the officer replied, "I am the corporal. I give orders. I tell my men what to do." Without saying a word, the rider jumps off his horse, helps the soldiers move the log. When he gets back on his horse, this unknown stranger says to the corporal, "The next time your men need help, send for the commander in chief and I will come and help you again." You see, the servant on the horse was none other than General George Washington. Now, if those soldiers had no experience with military leadership other than a corporal who was constantly barking orders at them, I could see where they might become a little cynical. But I suspect that when General George Washington lowered himself, humbled himself to personally serve alongside of them, his humility had a profound impact on their lives. Jesus once said, "Here's how you will know, or here's how the world will know that you are my disciples, when they see how you love each other." When the world sees how we serve others. And whereas the people of this world use their authority to tell others under them what they're supposed to do, the people of God humble themselves to serve humanity, regardless of color or gender or social standing or age or reputation or ancestry or anything else. When God commissioned Abraham to be the father of the Israelite nation, he did so with these words. He said to Abraham, "I'm going to bless you so that you will be a blessing to others." And what was true of Abraham is still true of you and I. We've all been blessed by God in one form or another, whether it's our finances, whether it's certain talents that God has given to us, whether it's the wisdom that we've picked up over the years from some of the experiences that we've had, some of them maybe even tough experiences, whether it's the networking that we've developed over the years through the people that we've met and the relationships that we've formed. We've all been blessed by God in some form or another. And like Abraham, it is now our responsibility to leverage God's blessings in our lives so we can be a blessing to others. It's not that hard. And one of the most obvious ways that we can bless others is by serving them. I mean, can you imagine the impact the body of Christ can have if every one of us is taking the attitude of Jesus on a daily basis? Whom can I serve today? What can I do to be a blessing to someone else today? Before he left and returned to heaven, Jesus gave us a very powerful promise, but it's oftentimes overlooked. He said, anyone who believes in me will not just do things equivalent to what I've done, but that person who believes will do even greater things, greater miracles than I have done, because I'm returning to the Father. All I'm saying is that you and I can be a part of miracles on a daily basis. When we choose to love others in practical, tangible ways. Matthew Henry was a preacher and a Bible scholar. When he went to London to preach, he met a young lady of nobility there who came from a family that was quite wealthy. They fell in love, and When she went to ask her father if she could marry this young preacher, her dad said, "But honey, he's got no background. You don't know where he's coming from." Well, you know how love is, like someone in love only can do. She told her father, "Dad, you're right. I don't know where he's come from, but I know where he's going, and I want to go with him." There is a world of people who haven't a clue where they're going. They're all around us. And we have conversations with them on a daily basis. Some of them we know. Some of them are strangers. But here's the facts. Jesus Christ not only knows the way to live, He is the way. He's already showed us the way through His own example. And He's promised to go the way with us as we go through life. And that way to live is not by using whatever authority or leverage that we have to tell other people what to do, but to serve them, to love them like Jesus did. George Washington understood that principle. Do we? This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is, and then walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. I want to challenge all of us here this week. Just pray and ask that the Lord would use you to do just even one kind act of service and love this week. I mean, there's no reason why we couldn't do one every day. There's no reason why we couldn't do many every day. But I'm challenging you to just do one, at least one. And over at the patio, we've got some cards that you can give when you do something nice. It just says, "This is our simple way of saying God loves you. Let us know if we can be of more assistance." And then there's the times of the services. There are cards over there interested in serving, and there are some ways that you can serve here at New Hope on the back of those cards. But I'm just asking and I'm challenging you to pray and ask God how you might be used of Him this week. Let's stand as we sing this song together.